It's Sunday, the 26th of April, day 36. A while back, a writer in San Francisco named Tomas Poello coined a new metaphor for how societies have to deal with coronavirus. He called it the hammer and the dance. The hammer is lockdown, confining people in their homes and restricting movement to slow the transmission rate of the virus to the point where health systems can cope with those who are seriously ill. It's like a hammer because it comes down bang. The dance is what follows when the lockdown is eased. At the moment, governments everywhere are pondering when it might be safe to commence the dance. One thing is for sure, though, there will not be a moment when the curtain is completely lifted and the world can go back to normal. Two reasons for that. The first is that there will be no possibility of a return to the old normality. That train has left the station. The past is now really another country. The other is that everyone knows what would happen if we just opened up again. Things would be mostly normal for 3 weeks while the virus resumed its exponential spread. Then people would start showing symptoms. Some would become seriously ill, and we'd find ourselves short of ventilators again, after which the hammer would come down again. So governments are thinking hard about how to embark on the dance. They will do it gingerly. Everything that happens from now on will have to be experimental. Maybe certain aspects of lockdown will be eased. Perhaps people will be able to go to garden centres, provided they wear masks and maintain a distance of 2 metres from each other. Or DIY shops might be allowed to open again, or even hairdressers. And having made those concessions, health authorities will wait to see what happens. If things look promising, some further relaxations will be contemplated. If, on the other hand, infections start to rise, then it'll be back to the hammer. So here's what the future looks like, as seen from now. Societies will be seesawing between hammer and dance, at least until such time as a vaccine has been found and manufactured on the almost unimaginable scale required. That could take a long time. On the New York Times podcast last Monday, Don McNeil, the veteran Times health reporter, said that the shortest time any vaccine has ever been produced was the one for measles, and that took 4 years from start to delivery. My reading of all this is that for people of my age, at least, voluntary house arrest will go on perhaps for a year or even two. That's mostly okay by me because I can work from home. I'm lucky enough to live in a spacious house with a garden and can take daily exercise in safe and congenial countryside. But this hammer dance yo-yo also has serious drawbacks. Not being able to go away on holiday to France, for example, or to visit family and friends in their homes, or even to visit the Apple store, goddammit, for the annual ritual of having my wallet rifled in return for fancy tech toys masquerading as necessities. Though, of course, that particular ritual can be conducted online with no human intervention. One thing I have noticed, though, is that even this genteel incarceration tends to warp one's sense of time. The Guardian columnist, Jonathan Friedland, was writing about this the other day. A friend had texted him saying, "The weeks seem to pass surprisingly quickly, yet the days seem to last an eternity." Strange things are happening with time, says Friedland, and stranger things could happen still. Being an imaginative columnist, he wondered whom he could call to discuss this, and thought of Erwin James, a man who served 20 years of a life sentence for murder, and for several years wrote an excellent column for The Guardian called A Life Inside. He told Friedland that any prison inmate would identify with the unnerving paradox his friend had spoken about in his text. "At the heart of the matter," he said, "is the Groundhog Day sameness. When one day is no different from the next, time becomes thick and amorphous, hard to keep hold of. It's like walking through treacle in slow motion," said James. "To break up the monotony," he said, "prisoners hunger for milestones, especially seasonal ones. They longed," he recalled, "for the sight of pied wagtails by the cell window, or greenery on the trees, proof that spring had come. They looked forward to the boat race, or the Grand National, or the Maybank holiday, or Wimbledon, anything that might separate one period of time from another." He remembers how his fellow prisoners would go wild on New Year's Eve, banging bean cans, tins, fists, even heads against the doors in celebration. only for there to be a lull a half hour later, as those inside realised that although 1 year had gone, another stretched ahead, that there was another mountain to climb. Now, coronavirus lockdown is clearly not the same as prison. But, said James, it has given people a flavour of what it's like to have your choices limited. Which is why, for many of us, the next year or more might not be much fun. And even now, I'm not looking forward to New Year's Eve.